support, maybe not unanimous consent, but general support for the idea of just if it's under 200 square feet, if it doesn't require a building permit, not on a permanent foundation, as long as it's outside of the front yard area, we're not gonna regulate setback.
Front yard area is past the front plane of the primary structure.
I would say that by the zone, so the house may actually be setback further, but it's whatever the front yard setback is for the zone. So if you have a house that's setback 100 feet.
But the setback is 35 feet.
We used to have in the code that it had to be behind the front plane of the house, and that was actually changed to, you just had to meet the front setback. Because there are some houses that are way setback in the back. I mean, there's Hall Road and other areas in town where that's the case. And for some of them, it was actually difficult to put an accessory building in. And then we could also add something in there on the PUEs, because although we could say, oh yeah, the setback, we change the setback, there's still the PUE that is often more restrictive. And we could say that, again, kind of the same threshold, if it's under 200 square feet, not on a foundation, doesn't require a building permit, then they can, at their own discretion, put it in the PUE, not on a fixed foundation. And we can...
Just put a disclaimer, hey guys, this is your own risk, though, that they have...
Right. So...
I don't want them to do it.
Yeah, and a height.
Well, it's 15 feet.
Yeah.
Is that reasonable, or do we want it even lower than that?
Well, I like 15. That's pretty reasonable.
Levi, I'm reading it's 20 feet on the total standard.
That's the maximum height, but 15 feet is the height at which you need a building permit.
Okay.
Yeah, and if you get above 15 feet, your setback also increases to 10 feet. So once you get to the 15 foot, there's quite a bit more restrictions that are imposed. So I can come back. I mean, that's relatively...
15 feet is about the height of a basketball standard with the backboard. So if that doesn't offend you, then that height should just increase.
A little higher than I guess there's something to your point on RVs. Some RVs are about...
About
that.
Tall is what they feel like, but... They're probably 15.
Yeah, some. I mean, 13. They're probably more like 13 to 14. But yeah.
Days a year,
all right. Anything else we should do on that? Is there any appetite on other structures to change it, or should we just focus on these small sheds and the restrictions?
One thing at a time.
Yeah.
I think most of the complaints that I remember hearing at city council meetings were regarding smaller sheds. So I think that would address the majority of the complaints and issues there.
I think the other complaints we get, it's just usually we can screen them out and come up with a solution. But we definitely get complaints from people that are seeking a permit that they would like to put their building closer than 10 feet.
I also think so. Is it past 200 square feet requires a foundation, or what is?
Yeah.
I also think there could potentially be an exception to that rule, that I think staff should be able to make an exception.
I don't know if that gets into the building code. I'd have to check with our building inspector. I think there might be a threshold there, something that. But I can ask
yeah,
about
if
that.
You'd be willing to explore that, just because I would not mind giving an exception up to so many more square feet, another 10 or 100 square feet, if approved by staff. So I like to give staff some discretion, which is the complete opposite, and I don't even approve it, the council does, but when I was on Logan City Council, I was very anti-staff, and the older I get and the more I get into this, I'm like, you know what, staff should have some leeway on some of these things, so.
Yeah, I'll ask about that, because I'm not sure if that also triggers those other requirements in the building code.
Levi, I'm reading the code here, and I have a question for you. Let me see here, so you can reference it, or at least later, but it's in 1924.060, under E, Supplemental Regulations, number 2. It talks here about prohibited accessory building and structures. The following accessory buildings and structures are prohibited in all zones. A is tents, when used longer than a two-week period unless approved by the Planning Commission, and B, trailers and mobile homes when used as an accessory building. So according to that, we're basically saying that if somebody, grandma or grandpa, come and stay for a night, they can't sleep in the trailer on the side of the house or the backyard? Is that what I'm reading here?
It says trailers and mobile homes.
Trailers and mobile homes. So
over 2 weeks, right?
No, that's only on the tents. So tents, when used longer than a two-week period unless approved by the Planning Commission, so that's, it's prohibited unless it's under the 2 weeks. And then under 2B, trailers and mobile homes, then in parentheses, open parentheses, when used as an accessory building, close parentheses. So technically, according to that, grandma or grandpa can't even spend one night anywhere on the property in an RV or a trailer.
In their own RV.
Yeah, see, and there's another provision of our code, and I don't know if I was aware of this one, or at least I wasn't maybe interpreting it the same way. There's another provision in our code that says you can connect to city utilities as a guest in a trailer for up to 30 days.
Okay.
Which would conflict with this, potentially.
Would conflict with that, which I think that's good. Yeah. Because grandma or grandpa want to come and visit, but they bring their trailer down, and they...
And it's limited to 30 days, and again, maybe we're getting a little outside of this. I mean, that provision is in here, so if we think we should change that...
I think we should.
Let's... do
I
that.
Think we could default to that 30-day one. I mean, as a kid, my grandparents came from Idaho to Southern Utah often and pull up the RV and hook up to the sewer and water, and they'd stay for a little bit. So, I mean, I think, you know, small, if we have a lot that's big enough for that, but they don't have an extra bedroom for grandma or grandpa, I think that should be allowed for that 30-day.
There's a lot of people that want to do it.
Yeah. So, I don't know. This conflicts with that, though. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, we could just...
Remove this one?
Remove it. I mean...
Rent my driveway as a seasonal employee.
The thing with the mobile homes, I mean...
Mobile homes, those are gonna have to be on a lot anyway, right? Those are too big.
Yeah. Right.
So let's just say we have a trailer out front, and every 3 days, whatever the code is, all the trick around it is just to drive it around and pull it back and put it back. Is that the same with this code, where it's like, hey... Jim Bob can't park his RV out front, but then he just backs it up, and then it's okay for another 30 days. That's my only worry, is because I just know some of the people that I know.
I've had people ask me that. I mean, that exact question. Hey, I want to live with outside of my parents' house, in an RV, and I've been asked that exact question. And I just recite the code. I say, well, it's limited to 30 days at a time, is what
but
it says.
But they're not on the street. If they're on the street.
No, not necessarily. Because the street just says you must move it. And then all you do is you drive it around the block, park it again. I do it every year, tons of times. Well, it's the only way around that code. And then the other thing is to, it would just happen with this.
I question whether we should even get into trying to regulate RVs, and they're difficult to enforce. The reason I say that, and the number of days, and someone living in there. I mean, I don't know.
What about Airbnbs on the trailers? I mean, where
we don't allow Airbnbs outside of the primary building.
Okay. So then we're covered.
So the definition of accessory buildings includes not intended for human habitation.
Right. So I think this provision to that point is if it's being used for storage. So you can't use your trailer to store stuff in. Maybe or other things.
It's almost impossible.
Or a shop. Yeah, I don't know if I have any issue with someone with a cargo trailer that puts their lawnmower in. I mean, I don't know.
Well, if they have a toy hauler, you can put anything there.
Well, should we start with just
the
current definition of accessory dwellings in the side and rear?
Right.
Does anybody have any other comments?
I don't know if I would mind striking E2B as part of this. I don't think it's very practical.
No, my neighbor's doing it currently, and I just think it is what it is. If they've got a trailer, if they store stuff in it, whether they store stuff in it or not.
What difference does it make?
Yeah.
I would be in favor of striking E2B. Because I don't know that it really changes anything else.
Recommending striking.
I'd like to recommend.
Okay. I think with that, I've got enough marching orders, unless there's anything else you want to bring in. So our next meeting is April 16th, so if everyone's good with it, staff will work on drafting some changes to the code, and then we'll hold a public hearing, and if we hit the mark, you can recommend it to council. If not, we can continue to discuss it.
Awesome. Thanks, Levi. All right, we will go to item number 5, staff reports and action items.
I think I don't believe I have anything else to discuss. We've talked about some upcoming training opportunities, and so I don't think we need to go over those again. But yeah, I don't believe I have anything else.
All right. With that, we will call the meeting adjourned. Thanks, everybody.